Hi, everyone. Dan Cassidy here. Welcome back to the Talking Markets podcast series here on the UBS Market Moves podcast channel. For today, I am joined for a mid-year market update and outlook conversation by Bill Sterling of GW & K Investment Management. Bill is the firm's global strategist and serves on the firm's investment committee. And Bill, of course, has joined us here on Market Moves prior. With that, Bill, it's great to have you back here on the program. Thank you for dropping by, spending some time today with our listeners, our clients, and I know we have a lot to cover as we've now approached the midpoint of 2026. So great to have you back today, Bill.
Thanks, Dan. Pleasure to be with you.
So, Bill, as we're speaking today here, late June, early July of 2026, roughly at the halfway point of the year, curious at the start to hear about your thoughts, how market conditions have shaped up year-to-date relative to your expectations at the beginning of the year.
Well, the market's been better than I expected, you know, because it followed 3 years of very strong double-digit gains. And, you know, historically, when you've had outsized gains like that, it tends to be followed by, you know, mediocre 5% type of numbers, but with a really wide range of outcomes. You know, and if you had asked me at the beginning of the year how the markets would respond to a war with Iran, shutdown of Hormuz, and an energy price shock, I probably would have been too pessimistic relative to what the outcome has been so far. You know, as of today, you've got the S&P up nearly 10% for the year and the Russell 2000 up more than 20%.
So, Bill, the U.S. economy, it does appear to be holding up quite well despite higher oil prices in recent weeks. Those oil prices have since come down a bit to a bit more normal of levels. There also does exist concerns about the U.S. economy overheating. How do you see the macro environment evolving over, let's say, the next 6 to 12 months?
Well, you know, I think the macro environment's been incredibly resilient. And, you know, it's being propelled by three very important, pretty much interest rate insensitive engines. And those include the AI boom, very ample fiscal stimulus, and a domestic industrial renaissance. So I think, you know, what you've seen is that the U.S. economy has pretty nicely overcome the macro headwinds of that energy shock and trade uncertainty. And it's been generating roughly 2 to 2.5% real GDP growth and 5 to 6% nominal growth. You know, we've seen the consumer remain pretty strong, and consumer's been supported by a labor market that's been adding jobs, but without triggering any kind of wage price spiral. So, you know, against that backdrop, I think risks of a recession or notable economic slowdown look to be very low, and that's an environment where corporate earnings could continue to deliver double-digit gains, which analysts are expecting.
And I know we have an upcoming earnings season to look forward to in the days and weeks ahead. I want to focus in for a few moments on artificial intelligence, AI, which is one of our transformational innovation opportunities or trios here at the UBS Chief Investment Office. A bit of a two-part question, Bill. Do you think that AI is ultimately a productivity story, an inflation story, perhaps a combination of both? And curious as well, what does a CapEx wave of this scale might mean for your positioning?
Sure. Well, I think AI is both a productivity story and an inflation story, at least in the near term. You know, we've seen with chip prices surging and so on, that inflationary pressures are part of the short-term build-out phase. But virtually all economists believe that that a transformation of this scale should yield pretty significant productivity gains in the long run. But I think in terms of what it means for investors, I think it is important that investors diversify across the entire AI value chain, and that includes power, cooling, networking, you know, rather than just chasing the mega cap tech companies and chip makers that are at the epicenter of the boom. You know, as far as risks are concerned, I think it's still an unresolved question whether AI revenues will live up to the current multi-year spending plans of the hyperscalers. But those spending plans are for real, and there will be many beneficiaries throughout the entire value chain. And I think the key is managing concentration risk and avoiding companies that are just superficially rebranding themselves as AI beneficiaries.
I want to get your thoughts, Bill, on the outlook for monetary policy, what you're thinking there, expectations for a Kevin Warsh-led Fed, and what your expectations are for monetary policy through the balance of the year. We've been hearing potential speculation over a rate hike being on the table. What might be required for the Fed to get there?
Yeah, well, certainly Warsh came out swinging with a lot of tough talk about inflation, but I think the Fed could afford to remain both independent but also comfortably on hold. You know, if oil prices are down, that means inflation is likely to be peaking because we've also had goods prices start to stall, and I think the tariff issue is being absorbed, in the rearview mirror now. One really important thing is that wage growth has been moderate and productivity growth is dampening unit labor costs, so there's no wage price spiral threatening the economy. And I think that keeps the possibility of a destructive rate hike cycle off the table. So despite, Warsh's tough talk about inflation, I think he may get lucky and avoid the one or two rate hikes that many in the markets are now expecting. I also think even if those rate hikes were to occur, they would probably not be a big problem for the economy because, as I mentioned, some of the drivers of the economy are fairly interest rate insensitive.
So, Bill, you've covered for us already some thoughts when it comes to geopolitics and AI, a bubble in the AI space as well, viewed as a market risk. What do you think might be the most underappreciated risk by markets today?
You know, from a long-term perspective, the high valuations of equity prices have got to be a concern, even though valuations have very little predictive content over the next 6 or 12 months. But I think over 3, 5, and 10 years, the starting level valuation makes a big difference for ultimately long-term equity returns. But ironically, having said that, I think the biggest near-term risk to the market might actually be missing out on the rally due to a kind of over-fixation on negative headlines or negative media sentiment. I think investors have been too focused on the Middle East and the Federal Reserve and perhaps fundamentally have just underestimated the sheer magnitude of the earnings boom, the operating leverage that corporates are basically benefiting from now, and also the structural advantages of the U.S. economy. So I think this resilience story is just a key underpinning of the market right now.
Bill, as we begin to close out, from a positioning standpoint, what looks most compelling to you at the moment as we're beginning to head into the second half of the year?
Well, I'd say aside, from staying the course with significant equity exposure, which means exposure to the ongoing AI revolution, I think some selectivity in exposure to the types of AI beneficiaries could help investors. I recently put out a piece called Picks and Shovels for the AI Era, and that looks at the beneficiaries of the AI boom beyond the major mega cap tech companies and chip makers. And, the title refers to the California gold rush in 1849 when many gold prospectors themselves went broke. But the people who consistently got rich sold them the picks, the shovels, the denim trousers, et cetera. So, in today's gold rush, with just 5 hyperscalers racing to spend $700 billion on AI capex this year, and that's expected to go to $900 billion per year in a couple of years, it means looking beyond the chip sellers to consider, I think, the old economy industrials who are pouring concrete, building turbines, manufacturing transformers, and supplying electricity. The good thing about those companies is they don't have to wait until the question of AI's ultimate payoff is resolved, since they've signed contracts already to build the infrastructure and get paid as the work is done. So I think those type of companies don't necessarily look like AI, but they're participating in the AI boom for sure. And we're seeing factory backlogs at multi-year highs, wholesale power prices that have surged. So I think the potentially steadiest way to invest in AI may not look like AI at all.
Bill, very thought-provoking, and thank you again for dropping by the Talking Markets podcast, spending some time with our listeners, our clients, and sharing with them your thinking on the markets, monetary policy, as well as positioning as we're heading into the second half of 2026. We'll definitely have you back, Bill. Thank you again for dropping by today.
Thank you very much, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to visit ubs.com/studios to view the entire UBS Studios suite of podcast channels, along with our video offerings, such as UBS Trending. You can also follow us on Instagram for content highlights at UBS Trending. UBS Studios is part of the UBS Chief Investment Office within UBS Global Wealth Management. Visit ubs.com/CIO to view the latest research.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers investment advisory services in its capacity as an SEC-registered investment advisor and brokerage services in its capacity as an SEC-registered broker-dealer. Investment advisory services and brokerage services are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and are governed by different laws and separate arrangements. It is important that you understand the ways in which we conduct business and that you carefully read the agreements and disclosures that we provide about the products or services we offer. For more information, please review client relationship summary provided at ubs.com/relationship summary. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS Group AG, member FINRA SIPC.